Love stories often begin with serendipity, but the true test comes when life's harsh realities intrude. For Will Cooper and Lakin Cohen, their relationship was forged in shared tragedy. Both thrust into parental roles after losing their parents, they found in each other not just romance, but understanding. Now, as they navigate their unconventional family life, raising their younger brothers while Will attends college, they face the delicate balance of maintaining their relationship amid overwhelming responsibilities. Their promise to Lake's mother before her death has kept physical boundaries in place for a year, a waiting period that's nearly complete. But what happens when the carefully constructed life they've built together faces unexpected threats? Can love survive when circumstances force you to question everything you thought was certain? Will and Lake have created a remarkable family unit, despite being just 19 and 21. As guardians to their brothers Calder and Kel, they balance education and relationship with unusual maturity. Their home life centers around family dinners with friends Eddie and Gavin and 11-year-old neighbor Kirsten. Their suck and sweet ritual, sharing the day's worst and best moments, keeps them connected through challenges. Finding alone time proves nearly impossible with two energetic boys constantly demanding attention. Their relationship occupies an unusual middle ground, neither typical teenage romance nor conventional adult partnership. The approaching end of their one-year waiting period before becoming intimate creates tension as they maintain their point of retreat, the moment they pull back from physical temptation. Will's journal entries reveal a young man deeply in love while still processing grief. 2011 brought love, grief, healing, he writes, noting Julia's death reopened wounds from losing his mother. Their shared losses have forged an unbreakable bond while complicating their relationship in ways most young couples never experience. As Will and Lake prepare for their weekend together, Will's ex-girlfriend, Vaughn, unexpectedly appears in his college class. Though he feels nothing for her, Will hides this from Lake, fearing it might upset their plans. This backfires when Vaughn shows up at Will's house as he's leaving with Lake. When Lake witnesses Will hugging Vaughn goodbye, she misinterprets the gesture. The revelation that Will kept this secret destroys her trust. "How many other things have you been keeping from me?" she demands, her voice breaking. This crisis exposes deeper fears. What if you only love me because of our situation? What happens years from now when those circumstances fade? Her questions challenge whether their love is genuine or merely born from shared trauma. Will's inability to explain why he loves her beyond their circumstances creates a painful rift. Meanwhile, Eddie discovers she's pregnant, highlighting how these young adults are navigating life-altering situations without typical guidance. Will knows winning Lake back requires expressing why he truly loves her beyond their circumstances. As a slam poet who first connected with Lake through poetry, he understands words can bridge gaps between hearts when nothing else can. With help from friends and Kirsten, Will performs at the local poetry slam, the venue where they first saw each other perform. Under the spotlight, he presents ordinary objects with extraordinary meaning. Her honest poem that earned a zero, her ugly shirt with the faded band logo he secretly kept, and her purple hair clip she stubbornly keeps repairing. "I love you because you cry when you're happy and smile when you're sad," Will declares. "I love you because you still believe in the good in people, even after everything." His honesty culminates in a simple truth. "I love you because of you, because of every single thing about you." Outside in the falling snow, their reconciliation mirrors their earlier conflict's intensity. Their reunion reveals a deeper truth. Love is a daily choice, requiring constant communication and recommitment. Just as happiness seems within reach, fate delivers its cruelest blow. Driving home through heavy snow, Lake's car is struck by a truck crossing the median. Will, following behind, watches in horror as the accident unfolds, the truck's headlights piercing the snowfall and his world shattering as Lake, Eddie, and Kirsten are injured. Will finds Lake unconscious, blood staining the snow around her. Paramedics eventually pull him away as she's rushed to the hospital. Time slows, details blur and sharpen randomly, his focus narrowing to Lake's motionless body under emergency lights. At the hospital, Will faces losing Lake just when they found each other again. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. I couldn't function. Every second felt like drowning. Lake needs emergency surgery for an epidural hematoma, heightening his helplessness. This crisis exposes practical realities. Will doesn't know her blood type, can't access her medical history, and has no legal standing in her care. When Kel asks, "What happens to me if she can't take care of me anymore?" Will promises, "We stay together, no matter what happens." Lake's recovery transforms their relationship. When she regains consciousness and whispers Will's name, he calls it the most beautiful sound in the world. Their reunion is tender. Lake remembers nothing after the poetry slam, asking if she forgave him. "Yes, you forgave me, and you love me, a bunch," he assures her. Will becomes Lake's caretaker, helping her shower, managing medications, and enforcing doctor's orders. When she becomes distraught about the hair shaved for surgery, Will impulsively shaves a matching patch on his own head, saying, "Now we match." The accident affects everyone. Eddie's pregnancy survives despite her injuries, relieving Gavin, who embraces fatherhood. Kirsten returns to school with a cast, facing bullies until Will intervenes. Sherry reveals unexpected wisdom from losing her own fiancé years earlier. "You're too young to have so much responsibility, but you're doing a good job. Your parents would be proud." The school talent show becomes a turning point when Calder performs a poem acknowledging Will's sacrifice. "My brother gave up everything for me, his scholarship, his freedom, his youth. This brings healing neither expected, showing how children sometimes express emotional truths adults cannot." The novel's resolution shows Will and Lake actively choosing commitment through marriage rather than letting circumstances dictate their relationship, transforming from external pressures to conscious embrace. Their courthouse wedding perfectly captures their journey. Lake wears jeans and the ugly shirt Will pretends to hate, symbolizing their acceptance of each other's imperfections. They exchange vows between spontaneous kisses, creating a ceremony uniquely theirs. By offering their house to Eddie and Gavin until September, they demonstrate growth from being overwhelmed by responsibilities to confidently supporting others, mirroring how they were once supported through their losses. When Will asks if she's ready to not call retreat, Lake's response of being butterflying positive represents their journey from uncertainty to unwavering commitment. Through financial struggles, medical emergencies, and doubt, Will and Lake show how love survives because they repeatedly choose each other. Their unconventional family demonstrates how true love grows stronger through crises, finding courage to advance toward each other even when the path seems uncertain.